जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So first of all, we should understand why Sri Lord Krishna appear in the material world. Bhagwan ka avtaran karne ka karan kya? Why should Lord Krishna appear in this material world? Apparently we don't realize him, we don't recognize his presence, even we see his physical absence and so forth. There are a lot of excuses, and yet shastras tell us that he is there and he comes here. Why should he appear if we don't have faith? Generally our faith is very meager, and that is also without proper understanding. But yet he appears. For Krishna, spiritual world and material world are technically non-different, because everything is his property. Wherever he goes, everything becomes spiritual. That is his nature. Wherever we go, we spread nothing but material influence. We exhibit material influence. And we try to, mess up. But when Krishna appears, everything becomes very auspicious, very, very benevolent, transcendental in nature, all the kind of pleasure, because he cannot be separated from his energies technically. There is no way you can separate him. And because all around us, including us, ourselves, they are the manifestations of his energies. Therefore, he appears anywhere and everywhere, in any form and every form. As many species of life they are there, Krishna has appeared in them. Even in the form of tree, he is celebrated as Ashwatha Vriksha. So what to speak, if he takes the form of a pig, he will be celebrated in that form. But do we celebrate pig ever? No. We celebrate Shukara Rupa of Krishna. So, Krishna says, he appears in his own realm by his own sweet will. You may request him to come. Whether he hears or not, that is his independence. And whether he hears our request and then comes, that is another thing. But he doesn't come just like that. We have to convey first our dilemma to Mother Earth. Then if Mother Earth is really unable to sustain our dilemma, material dilemma, then she takes the shape of cow and complains to the creator Brahma. And Brahma recognizes her and her services, that they are under jeopardy. So she is requesting Brahma, and then Brahma, along with all other demigods who are supplying to Mother Earth and its necessities, they see some discrepancy in their function also. So everything is perturbed. When Mother Earth complains, everything is perturbed. And then Brahma, along with the demigods, go to the shore of Milk Ocean. And simply meditates on the transcendental personality, who is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, number third category Vishnu. And he doesn't get an audience. Nobody sees the Lord. He doesn't appear before them. Rather, he sends his sound vibration and commands Brahma, then, okay, I will appear. And he will not disclose in which way he will appear. So, even Brahma has tough time to recognize. When this boar incarnation came, it came out from the nostrils of Brahma. And soon it started growing, and nobody could realize that how wonderful this thing is. They were simply stunned by such appearance. And some wise guy out of all the 33 crores of devatas like Shiva and Brahma can realize that yes, it might be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then simply wait for the wonderful activities that he will perform. And from that, they will judge. But they also become impatient. Says, for example, the same Sukara Rupa came and went and dived into the Garbhodak Ocean. He is from Kshirodaksha, Milk Ocean, and he has a jurisdiction to enter into Garbhodak Ocean, which is a salty water, they call it. And there, he dives in the ocean, and from the deep down ocean he pulls out the earth where that Hiranyaksha sunk it. So all the creation was suspended, submerged in the water. These are the waters of devastation. So how is it possible to sustain the life? The demons are that much powerful to do this job. Today we don't see such demons. But their representatives are in our mind, our desires, and they make us crazy. Right? So, then the fight goes on because Hiranyaksha is challenged, and he floats the earth on the Garbhodak Ocean in its position. Right? This ocean is not estimated by our eyes or the knowledgeability even. And it is in the orbit. So the Garbhodak Ocean is also in the space somewhere. That realm is there. So when Hiranyaksha sees that somebody has undone what he had done, he comes hissing and starts fighting. And wonderful form of this Varaha also picks up his gada and starts fighting. You know, as if there is a very wonderful, stage experiences there. You know, what a wonderful fight. I mean, it's everything is amazing. And they see the demigods are trying to watch over. And they see, sometimes the demon is on winning side and sometimes the Lord is winning side. But they don't have any particular specific recognition. They are simply seeing the wonder without any comments that this is really Lord or not. But regardless, because this happens on a huge cosmic scale, so only they can appreciate. Human beings don't have anything, because right now in the earth they are in the suspended state, right? So they have no knowledge. It's all ignorance. Only the demigods who are, in upper planetary system can see something going on, but they can't estimate who is who. So, then on the direction of Brahma and Shiva, they say, yeah, look at that, the Lord is wonderful, but that is demon. Now, can you imagine the Lord having the boar form and with the tusk and, you know, but it is golden and effulgent. Sometimes we see crown on the head of that pig incarnation. And this demon is also having the crown and jewelry and sort of. So who is demon, who is God? Even demigods cannot recognize. So knowledgeability or recognition is not there. But still, they try to tend, oh, somebody is winning, oh, they. But upon the guidance of Brahma and Shiva, they say, oh, that is the Lord. And meanwhile, the fighting is going on. So who disappears and who appears, they don't understand. It is too difficult for the demigods. So, after so ferocious fighting, then they come to see that how there is nobody winning, everybody. So, they request, whoever the Lord is, please, you know, kill him immediately. Right? They become exasperated. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, the description is like that. Just like the Garuda is picking up the snake and toss him off, and sometimes it is escaped, but again dives and picks him up and fights. So in the same way, you know, Garuda and snake, both are ferocious otherwise. You know, in our estimation. But the demigods who are now getting the guidance from the Mahadev and Brahma, the Pitama, so they have to take for granted that this is called Lord and that is not. So then they estimate and they request, oh please, kill him quickly and relieve us. They are impatient. And out of all this fierce fighting, the Lord does wonderful again, that he gives up Gada and slaps him from the left, you know, front leg and kills him all of a sudden. I mean, what a paradox in description, but yet it is said to be wonderful. And then out of glory, they shower celestial flowers on the Lord. And yes, now we understand that you are the Lord because you have killed the demon, killed somebody. Right. But that is only apparent estimation, not a full conviction for the devatas. So when we understand that janma karma cha me divyam evam vettiyo tattvatah tyakshvadeham punarjanma naiti mameti sojan. Krishna says that whenever I appear in the human-like form, one has to understand this on the scale of divinity. Then and then, he will give up his bodily conception, and after giving up bodily conception, he will not enter into the same repetition of birth and death, which is bodily conception. Right? So, this appearance and activities of the Supreme Lord thus becomes very wonderful. But we have to understand, you know, in the terms of divinity. Without cultivating divine eyes, we won't be able to see the pastimes of the Lord, which are wonderful. So, today on the account of the appearance of Devesan Devika, we have to understand Lord Krishna's appearance and activities. Because the soul is divine part and parcel of the Supreme Whole. Right? For him there is no appearance of this area. There is none. Neither there is appearance for the soul or disappearance. But he assumes different bodies and we think, oh, he is born. But he is never born. He is eternal. So when we see that what relationship do we have in celebrating the birthday? Simply significance is in cutting the cake or feasting, or understand the divinity of the soul, which is part and parcel of the Supreme Whole. And that's why Krishna comes and shows that, look, how am I appearing? And you have to also appear in that way, but somehow or another, you are not. You are appearing by force of nature. But how is it wonderful that when Lord Krishna, by the devotional service of a devotee, appears within his heart and then manifests everything of his leela. That is the only occasion we have to celebrate. Otherwise, soul is existing, even with the gross body or subtle body, or in the liberated state, it is eternal aspect. Therefore, it is existing. There is no birth for him. But we understand Krishna, who is eternally existing, just like the soul, but he is appearing on his sweet will while we are appearing and disappearing by the force of nature. And nature, mother nature, she is the inferior energy. Krishna is not confined to the inferior nature, but he can come. Just like the king visits the jail, or the head of the state is visiting the jail. Jail is within his jurisdiction. He is not part of the jail, but yet, out of sweet will, just to tell them, yes, if you need pardon, if you have repentance, if you have purified enough in the correctional unit called jail, you may have opportunity to become liberated. And even come and serve me, you have access. So, the Lord has to appear to show us how he can manifest within the core of our heart. So, Vasudeva and Devaki were totally purified, cleansed out of all material desires. They were ready to go through so much austere situation. Right? They were ready to go through so much austere situations that will please to Lord Krishna. In the first millennium, they appeared as Vrishni and Sutapa. And Lord appeared as Hiranyagarbha. So they recognized, he is my son. But he immediately went out to resurrect the Vedas and doing his function. And that's about, there are no interaction of Vatsalya Bhav for Vrishni and Sutapa. So they were still hankering. They don't know what intensity of Vatsalya Bhav or the parental love that they have to do more austerity for. Because it was not satisfied. Even though the Lord appears as the Son, yet they can't interact with him in the paternal affection. So they continue purification in the second millennium, and they appear at Kashyap and Aditi, and Lord Vamandev agreed to become their son. But he appeared at the age of around 6 already as a brahmachari, and he commanded the parents, I know you are my parents, but I have to go to the place of Bali Maharaj where he is doing sacrifice. I have come here to do another function. So he says, okay, my Lord. They were understanding he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whenever there is an understanding of Supreme Personality of Godhead has become my son, he will not give any exchange of love. So he went to Bali Maharaj's yajna place and cheated him. And then he disappeared. He never went to his parents even to fulfill their desire. Alright? And even this act, which is simple, but yet it is divine in nature. But the hankering of love has to be fulfilled. So again they became committed to worship the Supreme Lord with intense devotional service. So whatever it may come, we will want to bring the original personality of Godhead as our son. So Srimad Bhagavatam explains very beautifully how the Lord appears. Krishna appeared in the heart of Vasudev while they were in jail. Previously he commanded everything to Yogamaya. The first six Vasus have been also, you know, delivered through the hands of King Kamsa. The seventh was his personal expansion, Ananta expansion, Baladev, and he transferred via Yogamaya into the womb of Rohini. So she was there Balaram was born in Vrindavan, right? But here in Mathura's jail of Kamsa, after the transfer, Krishna immediately, without delay, appeared in the heart of Vasudeva. Now, to appear in the heart of Vasudeva means Vasudeva recognized the Lord is completely effulgent in his original rupa. Just like the seat of Paramatma is there, and Paramatma realization can happen to the yogis even. But Vasudev's austerities are more than yogi. Since 3 millenniums he has been doing this. So what an intense purification he must have undergone. So when the Lord appeared in the heart of Vasudev, without delay he called Devaki and initiated her. This is the meaning of initiation. Dikshit means the spiritual master has to give the conception in the heart. Conception of whom? To the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To conceive means to beget. You don't have to beget physically through sex life, but this is a conception of the heart. Brahma did conceive through the mind even. But conception through the heart is more important. There are different levels of conceptions. And even there are different types of manifestations. Even conception can be done through the sweat. And the examples are, you know, scorpion and others. They appear in sweaty condition. Alright? Some are andaja. Andaja means born out of eggs. And some are jarayuja. Jarayuja means they are tied with umbilical cord with the mother. Right? Now understand, in the terms of gynecology even, the structure of the appearance of the jiva, the umbilical cord is tied up with the placenta. You know the placenta which is attached to the wall of the uterus. It is perfused. And the umbilical cord is coming out from the navel of the fetus. Not mother, the fetus, other way around. The fetus is hanging. Right? The fetus is hanging. Actually, this is completely opposite picture of how Garbhadakshay Vishnu is begetting Brahma. Brahma is appearing on the lotus, which is thousand petal lotus, profusely, you know, but it is done under ignorance. Brahma is brought up, you know, on the lotus, and the stem of the lotus is coming from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, the second Vishnu. Not the first Vishnu, nor the third Vishnu. The second Vishnu. And he is lying on the Shesh, Ananta Shesh. And Lakshmiji is, worshipping, massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. This is Garbhadakshay Vishnu. So it is completely opposite to how a child in the material world is going to be begotten. So this is called Jarayuja. Andaja, Svedaja, Jarayuja, these are the different kinds of physical conceptions. Right? Even if you study in biology, you know, there are different kinds of conceptions. They call it mitosis and meiosis. X chromosome, Y chromosome, they get, you know, detailed features of whether male or female, or, you know, some are hermaphrodites and some are like hydra, and they come out like birds. Even this, plants can beget, can expand themselves. So, this is physical conception. Mental conception, you conceive in the mind and that will manifest. So initially Brahma started material proliferation through his mental conception. And there, because he was carrying the order of the Lord, so initially his conceptions were spiritual. Therefore Narad Muni, four Kumaras who are ever liberated, they appear. Then the seven rishis appeared. But again, this appearance of the rishis and their further propagation was very limited. So if Brahma can conceive only mentally, this spiritual conception that Vasudeva and Devaki went into is the, through the medium of the heart, means where the transcendence is residing. So it is more subtler than the mental conception. When we do puja, and the process of puja and Navada Bhakti, and the process of progress, both are, you know, estimated on the physical level, but you have to perform with some mental conception, and you have to use the mantras. So mind, words and activities, three are required to manifest a particular form. Previously, even in fire sacrifices in Treta Yuga, the Lord can appear from the fire through the process of yajna, right? At the same time, demigods also come to take their share of the oblations of the fire. And then they bestow the benediction. But this is on material level. But Vasudev got the conception through the heart, where the transcendence predominates. So when Vasudev immediately Vasudev immediately called Devaki and initiated her. Spiritual initiation begets the spiritual form of the Lord. It is the process of invoking the presence of the Lord within our own heart. So, when Devaki became Prabuddha, means realized of the conception, she became very effulgent. And the demigods then recognized that, oh, she is bearing the Lord in her womb. So they all came down to praise her and glorify her. And this is happening without any delay. When you want to enact the pastime of the birth of Krishna in Janmashtami, how do? You bring a little baby, you know, want to put in a cradle or decorate with like Krishna. But oh, you also want to make her cry at 12 o'clock midnight. You know, thinking, announcing, oh, the birth has taken place. But that conception and this conception which has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is divine? Conception of Bhagavatam is divine. It is transcendental in nature. It does not, Krishna is not forced to come, just like we are forced to come from the womb of the mother. So, now we have to understand, if he is not subjugated by the force of nature, then do you think he is going to spare the nature? He will command the nature how to act. He will tell. He is in complete control of himself. Therefore, Krishna says, Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. I appear on my sweet will through the agency of my own internal potency, not this external potency called Maya. Right? When the child is conceived in the womb of the mother, the consciousness appears awakened at the 7 month growth. After 7 months, the child is recognizing within the womb that he is there. Otherwise, he is on the total bodily conception. That is, eating, sleeping, and defending is going on even in 2 weeks old embryo. The fetus can respond to external stimulus. During the growth, what kind of vibrations, mundane vibrations, mother is affected, the same vibrations the child will be also growing through. So torment and other things have to be very carefully watched over. When Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of his mother Kayadu, Narad Muni was imparting transcendental knowledge to Kayadu, and Prahlad heard. The transcendental vibration penetrates all the physical layers of material elements. They are that powerful. So, when our child appears, then we should have the transcendental nature more predominant, right? Rather than, you know, poor guy has to come in the material world with a different experience than he desired. At the age of 7 months old in pregnancy, the child recognizes his precarious condition, tightly bound up around the rope over the belly, entangled Sometimes he is free and sometimes he is entangled. At the same time, he is floating in his own urine and own stool. That is called amniotic fluid. It is also salty in nature, they say. Just like, you know, that the earth has been sunk in the Garbhodak ocean. Right? And Hiranyaksha sent the earth all the way to the hellish situation, down the Garbhodak ocean. Right? Not from the position or the orbit of the earth. Rather, he pushed it into the Netherlands, up to Patal Loka. And there, it's all nasty things are there. But the Lord comes to resurrect. So, when the child is liberated from the womb of mother, we call it his bone, you know. Then and then, he should have relief. But rather, instead of getting relief, something else is happening to him. So far, he was praying for his relief from the precarious condition, from the 7th month old pregnancy, till he is liberated, and he is praying to the Lord. He recognizes, and he wants to assure the Lord that as soon as he comes out, he will be his very obedient servant, and he will not make mistakes, and so forth and so on. But because he is now coming into the external material nature, surrounded by his loving parents, you know, poor guy, you know, is coming without any commodities with him, no air, nothing, because he is still attached to the umbilical cord. The pain of birth is so heavy that both mother and child experiences. Alright? You can imagine that you are supposed to be forced out. The tender body is being forced out. Who will receive the more pain? Mother or the child? Both. Actually, the child will receive more. But we see only mother in the frame, and we are anticipating happy moment. And we go with the plate and metal plate and something to strike it and announce the appearance of our beloved child. The poor guy has to cry. If he cannot cry, he will not be able to breathe even. Right? Nobody comes smiling. Hello, how are you? I'm here. So this experience is completely contradictory to the divine appearance. Right? And yet we are told from time to time the child has to go through 16 sanskaras. Till he dies, just in remembrance that what he was praying, to whom he was praying, what his connect, even we give him his nomenclature on the basis of the Lord and his connection, knowingly, unknowingly. We think he is ours, our property, our this and our that. So that influence of Maya takes over him, bewilders him. Even though he wants to execute his independence, he thinks, I have to wait till I'm 18 years old and then I will show them. Like that. So, meanwhile we lose all the divinity aspect. And as the child, you know, grows old, he will be entangled, creating his own web of material existence, and which he will be so much going through the hallucination and the troubles and pains, nothing but pains. So one has to be reminded that, okay, yes, happy birthday. Krishna is having happy birthday. But now, Krishna is setting us, affording us to imitate him. In his name we do everything that satisfies us rather than him. We want to carry out everything. But Krishna, is so kind, he is so patient, and he wants us to recognize his glories very voluntarily, not by force, not by indoctrination, but by realization that whether really we appreciate Krishna for his divine nature, that he considers us to be his part and parcel. Why Krishna has to appear? If we are becoming so much disgruntled, still he says, from time to time I am appearing. And under the pretext of external disturbances. What to speak of internal disturbances? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Abhyuttham adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham. Dharmasya glani is this, that we forgot what we requested before, what we promised before. Actually, that is dharmasya glani. So, when a child appears in our household, we should celebrate. Everything about the soul should be celebrated. We celebrate even the disappearance of the soul who has left from our company. This appearance and disappearance must be celebrated to remind our original connection and promise to the Lord. You know? So, what it is that Krishna is very, very kind and benevolent to bestow his grace through his appearance and disappearance. To receive the grace of the Lord is very important. And the Lord is graceful out of his own sweet will. One cannot twist or bribe the Lord. One cannot have a shortcut with the Lord. You can have a shortcut with the demigods. You can have easily bribed other, you know, so-called superior to get your desire fulfilled. But if it is aspect of the divinity of Krishna, then you can't do that. But that divine nature is the nature of his blessings or grace. So that can be very well understood, that how he acted so wonderfully with the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially his mother. How he acted. Now, the celebration of the birthday of a child is more of a happy moment for the mother rather than father. Father acknowledges too, but the more intensified loving exchange is with the mother. Right? So here is Mother Yashoda and Lord Krishna playing wonderful pastimes in the month of Damoda, what we call. Dama means rope and Udar means stomach. That's why Krishna's celebrated name is Damoda. Then Mother Yashoda tried to bind him with the rope. So, there is a beautiful bhajan also that we will sing, you know, called Damodar Ashtakam by Satyavrata Muni. And before that, let's try to understand this Damodar Leela. Krishna is always devising. Different pastimes to bestow grace upon his pure devotees. He is so fond of his pure devotees that he can make somebody a mother and somebody a father. So, Krishna, who is butter thief, always mischievous, transcendentally, not like our boys. They make us frustrated. And somehow that we cannot put our attention to them in the mood of Mother Yashoda. In this Leela, the father doesn't come. You know, this is specifically the Leela between mother and the child. Alright? So, child Krishna stole butter right from the very beginning from everybody. But Mother Yashoda would say, I also have so much butter, how come you are not doing this? You know? Krishna says, this is my house, why should I do? I like somebody else's butter. But if you want, I will do. But not like this. Because there is a difference in the taste of the butter. Means the taste of pastime should be different. You are my mother. They are not my mother. You know? Even though they belong to me, in one sense, they are not my mother. So Mother Yashoda was one time, you know, feeding Krishna. And she had milk also boiling on the stove. But simultaneously she was doing the third thing, churning the butter. Yes. And all of a sudden the milk was boiling over. And she noticed, so she quickly, you know, set Krishna aside out of force and ran, stopping that. And Krishna said, milk is more important than me. So he smashed the butter churning pot. Alright? And seeing this, Mother Yashoda became very, very angry. Generally, mothers become angry when the milk is boiling over out of their attention. You know? But they can't blame their child because probably they are not there. They are not the cause. It is her own inattention that has been done. But then they say, when the milk is burnt, you know, the temper is also hot. So, never ask anything during that time. Otherwise, we will get smacked. So, Krishna smashed the pot of the churning butter, you know. So, double jeopardy. Two times, you know, mess has been created. So, she really became angry. And she came with a stick, So Krishna started running around, you know, and mother chased. And seeing mother very angry, otherwise this chase was very pleasant to the rest of the Brijvasis, because they never saw mother Yashoda running after Krishna up till now. You know, they were running. They wanted to chase Krishna, but here the mother is chasing. So they loved this scene very much. You know. But seeing the seriousness of mother, Krishna thought, I have no way out. So let me surrender to her. So out of her anger, she dragged him back to the place and says, "What did you do?" So the churning rope she took, and the same rope she took, and took her to, took him to the courtyard, and there was the grinding mortar. You know, grinding mortar means a big stone grinding mortar to grind the grains, and a similar type of the pole, as a wood pole is used to thump on it, so the grain can be turned into flour and other things. So she started tying him up, and somehow or another, only 2 inches short, so she can't put up a knot around him. She would run around under that craze of anger to bring more rope, but every time it's always 2 inches short. There's a beautiful article in BTG of this month telling how Krishna is graceful in getting bound up and keeping only 2 inches rope short. It's a very straightforward and sarcastic, you know, article for the scientists and the researchers. There it is explained that Krishna is testing Mother Yashoda, that if she is very angry, the anger will going to make her frustrated. But out of frustration, simple frustration, she will not be winning. But what is that frustration due to is more important. If the frustration is out of love, then Krishna will recognize that frustration and become graceful, not otherwise. If you love somebody too much, and yet all your efforts fall short, 2 inches short, something is pinpricking, so you want to become more conscious next time, that it will not. But somehow or another, every time, all your efforts are 2 inches short. So, won't you be frustrated? But is this frustration out of love of Godhead or love of matter? On the scientist, okay. The scientists are always trying to replicate what Mother Nature has already been done. Mother Nature has done everything in perfect under the order of Krishna. But scientists want to recreate something. And because they have imperfect senses, whatever they are going to make up is also going to be imperfect. That's logical. But regardless, they think they are complete. They don't understand that it lasts only for 10 years and not more than that. This fan, what will say it's purchased today, what will be after 10 years? It doesn't have that longevity. Say for any other structure, this iRiver, it has 40 gigabytes in it. You know, it will start malfunctioning. Because it is imperfect. That's why newer and newer models are coming. And out of frustration, they don't want to give up the love of money. So they become more greedy. That frustration is creating a kind of new avenue so they can be more profitable. Let people frustrate and we will make a business out of it. Out of frustration. This is the law of material nature. That if you get frustrated and you want to relieve by material means, then it will be a business. Somebody is making money out of your frustration. So therefore your frustration is not of love of the Godhead. It is love of money. Either you become victim or you victimize somebody. And both victim and victimizer, both are temporary. Right? They are in the different modes of material nature only. But here the frustration is out of love. Krishna, you are so attractive, so much, you know, naughty also simultaneously, and inconceivable that you are attracting our minds, that you are our life and soul. Without you, our lives will be totally dry, and all these experiences of divinity in them, and they want to carry on this forever. They are ready to suffer for these pastimes. Right? That is divine. Just like Vasudeva and Devaki agreed, whatever Krishna it may take, but we will be we will want to become your parents. But Krishna says, I will not just every time I have cheated you for your vatsalyas, for your parental love, I have not given you, and this time also I am not going to give you. This time also I will not give you. So, if you agree on this, then I will appear as your son. Therefore, the Lord appeared at 400 form with Sankhachakragada Padma before even the baby can be born. But out of the request of Devaki, because she was ready, they will wait for your mercy later on. But you go to Gokul and show to the whole world your wonderful childhood pastimes. What kind of sacrifice the parents are ready to give? Parents have a glimpse of sense of sacrifice for their bringing up the child. But it is only short-lived. Only up to the age. Okay, now you are graduated, you are married, you are on your own. Our business is over. Our function is over. Till we cared for you like this. Of course, the inner relationship are stronger, and that's alright. But the idea is that our relationships are on a very temporary basis. But it does give glimpse of very closeness to the divine love between mother and child, not father and child, but mother and child. Prabhupada explains this, that if you want to see selfless love that will be existing between the mother and child, it is coming pretty close to the nature of love that Mother Yashoda and Krishna is experiencing. So, the idea is that that Mother Yashoda wanted to bind Krishna out of the frustration for too much intensified love for Krishna. And material scientists, they are being frustrated because they cannot reach to the target. So they try to make a shortcut just to end up in material profitability or prestige, which are also short-lived. So in this way we see that unless and until material scientists, you know the other paradigm of perfection is out of love of God. The material scientists generally are atheists. Devamrita Swami was giving a lecture in IIT Mumbai, and he very nicely explained this particular part, that you are all technological oriented, the upper cream of the educated mass, and you'll be so much skeptical about understanding God because your experience on the technological premises are on a high egoistic experiences, and therefore you may not give any heed. But you can see you are simply following the Western pattern, the Western pattern of so-called technology that has come from, and in India everybody is after that. But India has something more to give about the reality of the other paradigm called the spiritual aspect. So you have to follow the American trend, and you'll be surprised that in America about 40% of the scientists are believers in God. Now how come you are all becoming atheists? Even though at home you have all this in-depth Vedic knowledge, so much. What is Maya covering over you? That if you have to follow the American trend, 40% of the scientist population is theist. They believe in the grace of the Supreme Lord. Grace means mercy. The mercy is transcendental in nature. Whatever you are able to use your brain to investigate, it's not your energy. You have desire. Otherwise, as we saw yesterday, soul has nothing to do except expressing the desires. Otherwise, whatever your nature acquisition from the Mother Nature, out of the three gunas, that will impel you to do the work. It means your body will work according to the acquisition of the modes of nature. You are not the doer. But if you think you have the desire and you think you are the doer, then you should also follow them. And you have your all the assets of the Vedic knowledge. Try to explore it and find out the alternative. Don't blindly imitate the West. They don't have Vedic knowledge, but you have. If you want to follow, then follow. Where is the 40% of these youth who are technocrats? They are having any kind of belief in God, even though they are born in the land of India. So that is the premise. So the idea is that Why the scientist fall short in their perfection? Because 2 inches short. They are also falling 2 inches short. Their material intelligence is not enough to bind the absolute truth. It requires the Lord's grace. So, when Krishna saw Mother Yashoda, very, very frustrated because she has intense love for him, she virtually started crying, "How come I am not able to bind?" As soon as the frustration comes, illusion comes. And she will start thinking again, "Oh, looks like my son is a jadugar or some god or some, oh, the supreme whole Narayan himself. Oh my God, what am I doing?" She will have that sense. Then Krishna will be disturbed. Krishna doesn't want his dearmost devotees to think that he is Lord. Otherwise, where is the possibility of divine exchange of love? So, seeing Mother Yashoda on the verge of shedding tears, he said, "Okay, Mother, please bind me, okay? And I will do my job." So under that pretext, he delivered even Nal Kuber and Manigreev, the two sons of Kuber, who were cursed to become trees. All right.